The sermon title today is Called to Witness. The night I spoke just a few minutes, the night that we had the singing group here, and the title of that I was shared for just a little bit was Called to Call Others, that we are called to call others. Yes, each one of us are birthed into this world with a God plan and a God purpose. You're probably going to get tired of hearing that someday, but I'm just going to keep on saying it. Each one of us that are birthed into this earth, on this planet earth, we have in our lives, we are called with a God plan and a God purpose. And that purpose is for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you know that everyone in the United States is supposed to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Amen. That plan is for you to tell others about Jesus, what Jesus has done in your life. You have been called to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are called to call, we are to call others to that light. A witness is to what? To declare the truth. Look quickly with me at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 today. Romans 1 and verse 16. We're not going to stay there very long, but we're going to go there just for a moment. So Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and it says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." But Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes. I am not ashamed of the truth. I am going to share the truth, the gospel, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone in this world today." Today, we're going to look at three witnesses. And at the end, we're going to look at a fourth witness. So to begin with, we're going to look at three witnesses. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. So turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. In this first portion, there's quite a bit to read, but it's worth the read. So Acts chapter 2, verse 22. And I'm skipping part of it to try to get to the very best part for the sermon today. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, he says, "Men of Israel," this is Peter speaking in his sermon that day, "hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and have put to death. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, at which you are witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to the Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. I'm going to stop there for right now. The very first witness that I want to speak to you about today is the witness of the eyewitnesses. If you look at Acts again, chapter 2, and look at verse 22, he says, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst. And listen to the words, and you yourselves also know. You know that this is true. So many were eyewitnesses of the fact and the miracles of Jesus. You saw it. You witnessed it to be true. Now, save your place in Acts because we're going to come right back to it. But I want you to turn quickly to another scripture in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. We've referred to this many, many times in the last few years. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it is absolutely a wonderful Easter message. But when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, go to verse 5. Verse 5 says this, and he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. Eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus walked on this earth, that Jesus performed the miracles that they talk about in the scriptures, miracles proven that he was the second person of the Trinity, that he was and is the only begotten of the Father. He is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Eyewitnesses that he was crucified and that he rose again from the dead. Look back at Acts. Go back to Acts now and go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians here in a little bit. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented alive after his suffering by many infallible or undeniable proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining of the kingdom of God. Infallible, undeniable facts. Christ was dead, but he is alive forevermore. And he was with the apostles for 40 days after his resurrection. Church, get excited. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. That's the first witness. Is the first witness that we're talking about today is the eyewitness. The second witness is the Word of God. Now go to Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. We're going to pick it back up. So in verse 24, it says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is my right hand, that I may not be soon shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made it known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are witnesses. It is said that in the Old Testament that there are over 300 prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus and about Jesus' life. Over 300. Now listen to me. For 8 of them to be fulfilled, hundreds and hundreds of years before the fulfillment would take place, for 8 of them to be fulfilled, it would be as a percentage 1 in 100 with 15 zeros behind it. Now think about it just for a moment. I had to look it up. I had to Google it today because I didn't know what 100 with 15 zeros behind it was. I wouldn't have any guess. I have a hard enough time getting up to 100, okay? The number is quadrillion. Quadrillion. And that is just the probability of 8 of them being fulfilled. We are talking about 300. And Jesus the Christ fulfilled every one of them. Now turn back with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. We go back there. We go to 1 Corinthians 15 and then we look at verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says this. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that He was seen by over 500 brethren, at one of whom the greater part of them is present. So we see, so don't go looking for another Messiah, because there is not another Messiah coming. He came. And He's coming back. He came, and today He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. To be saved, it is in Him, and there is no other to look to. You must turn to Jesus. The second witness is the Word of God. We looked at the prophecy that was spoken by David in the book of Acts. We turned to 1 Corinthians, and we looked at chapter 15, and Paul was saying that Jesus came according to the Scriptures. Jesus died according to the Scriptures. Jesus arose again according to the Scripture. That witness that we're talking about is the witness of the Word of God. So right now we've had eyewitnesses and we have the witness of the Word of God. The third witness is the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 2, look at verse 33. In verse 33, it says, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but He Himself. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. Therefore, let all the house know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive what? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far, as many as the Lord our God will call. And the Holy Spirit is a witness to us that this is the Christ. Verse 37, though there that day they weren't doing an analysis, the positives or the negatives of accepting Jesus, they, by the power of the Holy Spirit, were cut to the heart. Look at that verse in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. In Hebrews 4:12, we won't go there, but it says that the Word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing asunder even the hearts and the thoughts and the intents of mankind. The Word of God is energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes it alive. So believe this, saints, or not believe this, but I believe that most of you believe it's true. If I can get the Word of life, the Word of God in your life, I know that the Holy Spirit is going to activate that. The Holy Spirit is going to energize that and bring you to the point of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Look at John 16. John 16, verse 7, it says this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is it to your advantage that I go away? For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. Now listen to the words, of sin, because they do not believe me. Believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Acts 2:37 said what? They were cut to their heart. This scripture says this is the work of the Holy Spirit to pierce even the hardest of hearts. They asked the question, what shall we do? What can we do? And the word of God was delivered to them. It was like a double-edged sword going in. The word was energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. It burned within them. Remember the story about Zacchaeus? We won't turn there, but I'll give you the scripture. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And they said, "What during the time that Jesus was with us, didn't our hearts burn?" It burned within them, the presence of the Holy Spirit that was touching their life. Can you feel the burn today? When you come in and you start worshiping the Lord, and you know what? We talked about praise many, many times. You know what? You can't praise without opening your mouth. You can't praise God without saying something. You can worship quietly, but you can't praise God quietly. You need to praise. You want to get your pastor fired up for a sermon? Then start praising God. And when this place starts, the Holy Spirit starts falling in this place, you know where it also falls? It falls right on my head. It gets me energized to preach the Word of God. The more you're involved, and the more I will get involved as well. The Word of God will energize us. It burned in their hearts and their life today. And the burn we're talking about is not Bernie Sanders. We're talking about the burn of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. I want to end today with the fourth witness. So far today, we had the eyewitness. We had the Word of God witness. We also had the witness of the Holy Spirit. And the fourth witness that I want to talk about is the living witness, which is you. A living witness to what Christ has done in my life and in your life and in lives around me. Turn, I think, to one more scripture. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I know I've kept you longer today, but it's been worth it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in the hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, administered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is the heart. Now look at verse 4. And we have seen such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Saints, if you know Christ, people are reading your life like an open book. And that's just exactly what it says. When we look at, go back to Acts chapter 2 and go to verse 37 now. We haven't read that part yet. So verse 37 of Acts 2, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now listen to the words. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. For those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. How would you like to see 3,000 souls standing outside this church wanting to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and all had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided among them all, as anyone that had a need. So continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, that they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as those were being saved. The call went out Friday, 11:30. In my life, I have never seen God orchestrate anything as fast as what he did, nor as efficient. Within 4 hours, we had the business moved out. The call went out at 11:32. By 4 p.m., we were having pizzas, and the whole church was involved. Those who were praying, those that said, I have a pickup, I have a truck, I have a trailer, I can help. And in and out, it was like 20, 25 people came out from one call on the prayer chain. We came out as living witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing was preached. No scripture was read. People were reading our lives, and it was noticed by those that were standing there. Where'd all these people come from? There was a call that was made out on a prayer chain at Crossroads Gospel Church, and all of a sudden, they started showing up at the front door. That's the church at work, church. That's the church at work. You are living witnesses. Living witnesses. We are living in a world where 90%, I shared this on Thursday, 90% of the Christians will never share their faith. Never think for a moment that you have nothing to share. You are living witnesses for Christ, for what he has done in your life. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done in our midst. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done in every one of these individual lives here today that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because when you look at them, I look at them and I see Jesus. I see Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, in only a way that you can. Maybe there's someone here today that has never made that commitment. They never said, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. And Father, we want to give them a chance to do that today. Maybe through the Word of God today, they feel the cutting of the Holy Spirit to their heart. And they want to respond to that today. And Father, we want to give them a chance to do that. Lord, in only a way that you can, your Holy Spirit, move over this congregation. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, will there be one by the signifying of the upraised hand, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I never made that commitment. I want to make that commitment today. I want to make that commitment today. Father, for the rest of us here today, Lord, we are living witnesses. And we praise you. And I thank you, Father, for a loving body of Christ that we have at Crossroads. You have blessed us so much. And Father, may we always fight to have that love. May we always fight to have that where we're praying for one another and we're lifting one another up. Father, as we go our separate ways, may your hand be upon each and every one of our lives. May you bless us, Father, and may you open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.